Amy? Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Joan and I are here. We're waiting for Dr. Susan.
Okay, and I was waiting for you guys. This is a really cool thing. I like it.
I think we're recording right now.
Hello, Susan's here.
Hello, Susan. We're all set to go.
Excellent.
So so we are recording, so I'd like to welcome everyone and just say that my name is Marcia Brandt, and I'm here with Dr. Susan Rossi, who is the creator of the Quantum Leap in the Heartland. Susan is a licensed graduate of the Life University in Marietta, Georgia. She's a diplomat of the National Boards of Chiropractic. She's a nationally recognized expert, lecturer, and author in the chiropractic and alternative healing fields. And in addition to her private practice, Dr. Rossi is an ordained minister. She's a practitioner and an instructor of both the ancient Mayan advanced healing practices of divine intervention and spontaneous remission, and one of our favorites, light language. And furthermore, she is a practitioner of the esoteric and soul-focused healing techniques. Dr. Rossi lives in Marietta, Georgia. She teaches and travels nationally and internationally, and we're just excited to have her with us today.
I'm very excited to be here.
And you're excited to be here, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I just really want to thank you for being willing to come to Iowa and share, first of all, your beautiful light and all your love. And everyone who's signed up for the Quantum Leap is so excited.
I love Iowa. I have lived in Iowa before. I met my husband there. I was introduced to chiropractic there. It's very special to me, so I'm delighted to come back.
Oh, yes. Okay, and so we're actually recording this to give people some information about the Quantum Leap in the Heartland. And
yes.
So if you could just tell us, Susan, a little bit about how and why the Quantum Leap was created.
I noticed as a chiropractor that the people coming to me, the issues that they were presenting was beyond the physical. It was beyond the spine. That the symptoms and the stresses that they were experiencing was, in my opinion, multidimensional. They were becoming more and more psychic. They were being overwhelmed by the input of light coming into their field, information coming to their field. In a lot of ways, people were acting autistic by the intense information coming in. And it was confusing them. They were picking up other people's symptoms. They were picking up multidimensional energies, consciousnesses that are not supposed to be in third dimension in our physical world. So out of my compassion and an understanding of my own self, the original healing modality called the quickening accelerated conscious evolution was born. And that has several components to it. And I took the best parts of it and made the class the Quantum Leap. So now I have something to refer my people to so that they can be made more comfortable and more at ease in their evolution and becoming more of a light being. My understanding is human beings at this time and place are actually waking up to the fullness of who they are, to the expansion of our divine self, and there is an interfacing that's happening with our physical self. So, the main body of the Quantum Leap is to scan everyone's field and do a checklist of making sure that there is energetic, spiritual, psychic, multidimensional hygiene in place. So there are several processes that the field is being cleaned and cleared. And by the time I get done with this section, people traditionally feel squeaky clean and it's quiet inside of their head, maybe for the first time ever in their lives. So it's a fabulous opportunity to have a sense of the wholeness of self and the quietness within each person. It's just amazing. I love that I have been gifted with this opportunity to do this. The next piece that I do, I call the I Am. The first part I call foundation. It's a foundational piece, I believe, for any work that any person decides to do, whether it's light language or divine intervention or my work. I believe healers of all sorts need to have protocols put into their place and to their fields so that they can interact with their clients in peace and true clarity, and they have a better interface or quality, pure interface with their guidance and their inner voice. It's really easy to confuse all the noise, and it overshadows this small, clear inner voice inside. So it gives people clarity.
I've had people ask me questions about that, and I really appreciate you explaining how we can get that quietness, because I know many people will meditate and they'll never get there.
It's amazing. Nowadays, because of the light influx, because of the thinning of the veil, because of 2012 and all the fabulous things that are happening right now, people are becoming more and more sensitive to the input. So they actually telepathically hear people around them. They telepathically hear thoughts that have been left there from someone that's not in the place anymore. So you could go into a restaurant and you hear all the noises of all the people eating, you hear all the noise of the people serving, and you hear all the noise that's left with that from the people that had been there previously. Not to mention, you start interfacing and remembering past lifetimes, parallel universes, on top of everyone around you, their guidance and your own guidance. So it becomes extremely overwhelming to know exactly what to do. And it makes the person feel crazy. One of the signs that I know that a person needs my work is they're on Prozac. They're depressed. They can't sleep. They're having insomnia. These are all screaming red lights that they are in trouble, and they're actually an example of what I call the new human. They're already evolving, but they don't understand what's happening to them, so it becomes very scary.
So when people are actually in the Quantum Leap workshop and they get to this quiet place, then you take us to the next phase, which is?
The next thing that happens is protocols put in place, procedures put in place, where there's a call to pull self back to self. Once the parasitic activity and noises that's going on inside your field, whether it's you hearing what's around you or you actually have consciousnesses that are attracted to your energy, once all that's been removed and it's quiet inside your head, then we go through processes of going throughout time, space, and void and collecting yourself back to you. My truth is, every single person are, if you will, multiple personalities. That's why one moment when we're a mom, we're one way, and when we're a teacher, we're another way, and when we're a lover, we act totally different, and when we are paying our bills, we're totally different. Different aspects of ourselves comes forward to take to take active role of whatever's happening. Or like a crystal with all the many faces, or like one of our favorite sacred geometry shapes. We have all these faces, and each face is a different aspect of our personality. My truth is, when an ego is exposed to an event that is beyond that ego's ability to process and integrate, we tend to shut it down. We tend to disassociate a part of that aspect of ourselves, and we put it in a closet or we put it away, along with all the emotions that came along with the event, all the memories, all the thought forms, and we actually have a disassociated aspect of ourselves along with our energies and our creative life force energy, and it becomes an altar, if you will, of ourselves. We do that enough, we start pulling a lot of our own power away, and we feel we become more and more tired, more and more stressed, and more scattered and fractured. And my truth also is that every lifetime that we have ever lived, we have done this. So when, for example, a small child has been exposed to maybe they broke their leg, maybe they had a horrible event with a kid calling them names, maybe they were actually violated. A three-year-old cannot handle that kind of trauma. They can't handle it emotionally. They can't handle it mentally. They don't have the thought processes to work it out. So if a child does not use the survival technique and disassociate the memory and put it away, then that little tiny personality becomes damaged. I think some events can actually kill us. They're so overwhelming. So we have a very powerful way of dealing with things that are beyond our ability to deal with it, and we just put it away till when we can. That's why lots of times when people hit their 40s and 50s, they start remembering events that happened to them when they were really little, and it's because that personality is now mature enough to handle it. Well, the same thing happens on an evolutionary level, on a soul development. So me being in my 50s, I'll start pulling throughout time, space, and void all aspects of myself. And when they show up, I have to be able to process them without them overwhelming them. So what the quickening does is make that whole process accelerated, gentle, easy, and safe. And it helps put the all these multiple aspects back into myself. And we go through a process of quickening where they're integrated and the powers return back to ourselves and memories brought back, and we become stronger and stronger and stronger. Along with that clear, small voice, we become more able to do what we're destined to do.
There are several words that you just said that made me feel really good about the whole process, because at first it sounded overwhelming, but what you said was it would be gentle, easy, quick, and safe. And I know that lots of times people get afraid to pull who they are back together and step into their power. And so what I'm hearing you say is that this workshop will actually empower people.
As intense as this may appear to be, when we consider all that we have ever been, there is an invitation and an activation of guidance and rules put down that this whole process be done as, like I said, as safely and gently as possible. I know that some of this happens automatically, and this automatic process is done with as much grace as God could give us in such a state. So even though it's huge amounts of information beyond my ego and my mental body's understanding, my soul and my highest of selves make the whole process much, much easier and gentle. And then without having to think about it, we're able to handle all the light and be a human at the same time.
You mentioned that the second process was the I am, and this is Joan speaking.
Hi, Joan. The I am part is actually the biggest part. I have a vast library of concepts and belief systems that I can offer to a group or to a client to change our operating system, how we react to the world. So, for example, what this is it works at a soul level, and at that causal level, a thought that I have is how I create my reality. So if I believe that I'm evil, I create a reality that demonstrates that as a truth to myself. So rather than that old thing we used to say, I'll believe it when I see it, the truth is I'll see it when I believe it. So what happens is I have a process that it can access the soul, activate thought forms and bring them up to surface, actually pull them out of a person's field with them being fully integrated and processed and put back in their place a conscious statement that truly is more for our highest good. So when the duality of it makes sense, for example, I have a thought that says that I am evil, I can replace it with, I am divine. And then that now starts to resonate throughout my reality. It's very, very exciting. If it is a thing that I don't like the duality, the change, then I put statements that are even higher, that I'm a child of the infinite, incorruptible source. And all I do is for my highest good and within divine will, and so on and so on. So then it, now I work from a place that I'm a child of God, and everything I do is guidance. So the I am part is, it's the most powerful thing that we can say. So when I say I am, I'm activating universal laws. You guys following what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so if I say I am evil, and I put a period on it, the I am also includes that I am also a woman. So I'm also a daughter. I am also a girl. I'm also a mother. I'm also a grandmother. I'm also an extension of the divine. I'm also an aunt. I'm also female. I'm also, if I was married, I'd also be a wife. So when I say I am, it automatically, everything that I am includes the statement evil. Are you guys following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hi, Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Completely went out in my house.
Oh, the power did?
Yeah, which is why I dropped out. So I got the message that our energies were very big and that I should just call back.
Well, I've noticed that when a group of us are on cell phones and dealing with bouncing off satellites, and when we're doing something very spiritual, it's very hard for the line to hold it, and it's not uncommon that we drop out.
Okay.
And then we have to call again. So it just confirms how important this conversation is. Anyway, so the section about the I am is a changing of concepts and belief systems at a soul level that we create our reality with. And I have about 22 pages of universal changes that I think that every group should have, so it becomes part of the class. It's exciting. And,
oh, I know.
And
I can just
highly recommend it.
Mm. I can feel it.
Yes, the third part of the quantum leap I call angelic templates.
Oh, that's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, it is my truth that when we originally took on this gift that Spirit had asked of us. When we originally became human, we all came with abilities, much like the Hitchhiker's Guide through the universe. He had a towel, and he had a compass, and he had a universal translator. He had tools to travel through life and do things. I believe we as humans came with things, but because of the intensity of being human, how dense the experience was, how overwhelming emotions were, how powerful the opportunity to play with duality was, and how added intensities, having free will, and then, of course, dealing with ego, that combination made the experience much more intense than we originally thought. When we're up in spirit, even now, we forget, or we had, back in those days, we didn't have a clue what this was going to be like. We could write it out, map it out, imagine it, but experiencing it is a totally different ballgame than looking at it from being out of body. So when we came in, a lot of the gifts, a lot of the information, a lot of the accesses, we lost. So what the angelic template is that it's a giving back of all the original information, connections, and tools that we originally had is being given back to us. So an example, one of the very first templates that I check to see if someone has is the template of love. And you would be surprised how often a person does not have the template of love. And what that means is, at a core level, that they don't know what love is, that they cannot express it, unconditional love, that it's difficult to vibrate it. So we spend lifetimes as light workers being love, trying to experience love, to emanate love. And when I put the template in the person's field, all of a sudden the whole thing shifts, and you have access to universal love. And it's like this template is everything there is to know that a human being has ever experienced throughout time, space, and void, throughout the universes, throughout the parallel universes. It's like having your own personal Akashic record of love. Mm-hmm. Even though, and the information is infinite and vital and living, so it's always growing, always expanding. And the angels help us with it. They become the portal to it. So the only information that you actually access is what we personally can hold and handle. But now you actually have personal, intimate information that's integrated that on the subject of love. So I have a library of templates that I install in people's fields. And then, if I have time, I check to see what templates you're actually accessing, and then you have a better idea what to study in your life to improve. So if a person can't access that template very well, then he needs to work on love. If they can't access the template on trust, then they need to work on trust or boundaries or even being human. Some people don't know how to be human. They fight it for all they're worth. So one of the first templates I put in a person's field is everything there is to know about being human. So it's very exciting. Very exciting.
I know. I'm just going, okay, is it August 24th
I'm
yet?
I'm ready today. No, can you come tomorrow?
I get excited about talking about it. So am I making sense? Do you need clarity about? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Amy, do you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted wondered if you could share a few experiences, Susan, regarding your own personal life path, your work with angels, ascended masters, light beings, etc., and how that
Lordy.
Seeded, inspired, or has transformed Quantum Leap?
The Quantum Leap is angelic based. I'll give you an example. I had a patient come in. Her first name is Scarlett. She goes, okay, I'm here. And I said, I see that you are. She goes, no. You came to my dream last night. I was dreaming that there were a circle of women and there was a bonfire in the middle of the circle of women. We were having a meeting and that she was talking about me, that you had appeared in the center of the fire, and I pointed my finger at her and told her that she had to come in for an adjustment and have a healing and to ask for a healing on her emotional body. She goes, so she walks into my office and she says, I'm here. I'm ready for my emotional healing. And I started laughing at myself because my higher self had showed up and told her to come. So she lays on my table and I adjust her and I said, okay, everyone, what am I supposed to do? And I was inspired. I told the angels to go to the sacred place in the universe that knows everything about emotions. And I said, gather it all up and put it on something like a CD-ROM and install it in our field. And so the angels did that. She came in the very next time and she told me that before that happened, she didn't understand the emotional body. Now, she's an amazing woman. She's very pretty, very Southern, and brilliant. She had her master's in like computer engineering or something, and she created templates for banks to figure out information. So she had a huge group of people. Even though she was young, 30, she was the boss. And she really had no compassion for her people. They were scared of her. She didn't understand them. She was like a living machine. After that happened, after I put the template in, it changed her life. She totally had compassion. She totally understood the emotional people. She related to her people for the very first time in her life. And I go, ah, now I understand. So I went to, I started making templates of any subject I wanted. And I called an angel forward, had them make a template for me of whatever the subject was. And then I installed it into a person's field. And depending on how sensitive a person was, how well they felt, if they could feel the template go in or not, this angelic CD-ROM. And it was amazing. Let me think if I can think of another example. I had a woman who was a wife of a chiropractic student. And when she came to me, she told me that she started Prozac or something like that. It's been a while. After her last baby was born. And I knew that that was not okay, that something happened. She started becoming very depressed after the baby was born, and the baby was born with one leg shorter than the other. They had started doing whatever doctors do, MDs do, to lengthen the leg using electrodes and things. And she was very depressed and withdrawn and having trouble interfacing with her family. So I called an angel to me. She felt like she had been bothered. It felt very ET to me. And I called Archangel Michael to me to scan her body and find the implants. And from what I could understand, she had implants in her ovaries. So she's laying on the table and I imagine Archangel Michael reaching into her body and pulling the implant out. And as soon as she doesn't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing my thing. I probably have 10 other patients in the room waiting. I've got two tables. They're full of people. I've got children running around. I'm doing my thing in my office. So I'm evoking the angel. The minute I perceive the angel extending its whatever its hand thing is into her body to pull the implant out, she almost screamed. She sat straight up, grabbed her ovaries, and started laughing and crying all at the same time. And I went, whoa, she felt that. And, oh, my God, I really was doing that. And I held her while she sobbed in my arms until she could. And my patients are all cool. They're pretty used to the odd stuff that happens in my office. They just waited. The husband was cool. He knew I had her. And I laid her back down, and I told him that everything was okay. And then later I said to her at another time, because I was doing little pieces for her, I asked her if she believed in God, and she didn't have an opinion. I thought, well, that's interesting. I said, how do you feel about being psychic? And she didn't have a thought about it. And I thought, well, do you believe in angels? And she goes, I don't have, you know, she was very noncommittal about it. It wasn't anything she ever thought about. And I said, well, my dear, you're one of the most psychic people I've ever seen, and their angels are all around you, and I'm going to introduce these angels to you because I have something for you to do. And I covered her up, and I had them do work on her while I went and adjusted somebody else. And later I told her husband it was really very important that I it was back when the quickening was very young, and the quantum leap was something I did for individuals on the table as I was adjusting. I was doing other things all at the same time. It was back at a time when I could still do it, and it wasn't a three-day workshop. It was something I could do in a few minutes, like mental check in my mind. But that became so intense, and there was so much stuff that I wanted to do. It evolved and evolved and evolved until it's the workshop that it is today. And that young woman, I had time with her by myself and put protocols in before her husband graduated, because she would never go and do something like what this workshop is. I wanted to make sure she was safe before I let her off into the world, and he went off and went practicing somewhere. Would you like more examples, or was that good?
If you would like to give them, sure.
Let me think.
I'm kind of interested if you could give a little information about childhoods and up to now. Like your own.
Say that again. Me as a child.
Like your child self up to now.
Oh, my inner child or my.
No, your life experience.
Oh, from, Lordy.
Like how it.
I'd be glad to do that. I was born military, a military brat. I was born in Germany, so it was a very violent, intense birth. My mother said I was black and blue when I was born. My father is a, I'm the oldest of six children, and he was very, very intense and very violent. He was a brutal alcoholic, and my mother played the silent partner. So I've been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, psychically, astrally. The house I lived in was violent, it was dirty, it was not safe. I was very numb. My natural state, I'm a Cancer, so I'm very feeling and very sensitive. My psychic sense, I'm a clairsentient, so I'm a feeler and a knower. My way of learning is kinetic. It's by movement and feeling. So to be born in that kind of environment, I just shut down. I shut down, I shut down, I shut down. I didn't feel anything. I could hardly talk. I don't remember anything. I slept all the time. In hindsight, looking back, I was extremely depressed. I had chronic depression up to probably my 40s. On a sexual level, I was totally numb, couldn't feel anything. When I graduated from chiropractic school, because of my choosing not to have anything to do with drugs and having as pure a diet or live it and as possible, that when I had three cavities, I actually had three teeth drilled on by a dentist, and I asked for no Novocaine. So I was so numb that I could actually do that. Now, to even get my teeth clean is all I could do to hang on to myself. I'm so in body, so there. So there, my beginning of my life, I was very numb. I was very out of body. I was very unconscious. I was terrified. My chronic emotions were numb, grief, sympathy, depression, terror, fear. That's how I lived. So I probably have post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. When I was young, if someone looked at, if someone, a boy or male, anything was looked at me that was my age or older, I became paralyzed. I couldn't talk. I couldn't function. It was very scary to me. Men were very scary to me. What the very first thing that I believe started the process of me becoming healed and alive and awake and starting my journey, I had a girlfriend in high school, and she was the first person that told me about reincarnation and astrology. So she was the beginning. She also taught me about kissing and things like tampons and stuff. So she was the closest thing I probably had really to a mother. And she's a person that I'm hoping that will join us in, up in Iowa, because she lives not too far away from this. I'm hoping to see my lovely friend Cindy. So she's very special. So she was the beginning. And then my husband at the time, Dr. Armin Rossi, an amazing human being, was very safe, was a very gentle man, and he was the one that exposed me to chiropractic and to another way of being. Through chiropractic, I had an outlet to be able to be touched and to touch others. So my practice, my chiropractic practice, and the thousands of people that I've adjusted, each time I had an opportunity to touch someone, I healed. The way that energy works on this planet, whatever I put out, I get back. So every adjustment I gave, I have received adjustments. So I became a chiropractic student or disciple of a man named Al Reach, Dr. Al Reach in Phoenix, Arizona, and I worked with him for 6.5 years along with my husband. And he was my next, he's my chiropractic guru, teacher, man. And let's see, through that process, the quickening came from, and also I was healed. So the thing about energy is when I give an adjustment, I give energy to the person, and because of duality, I receive the same amount of energy. If the energy doesn't go out, the patient doesn't receive it, and I don't get it back. And the depth of how much the patient receives the energy is the depth of how much of the energy I receive. So that's one of the reasons why a lot of healers are very unwell themselves, especially in the old paradigm. The original healers were very ill themselves. So the more they healed someone, the more they were healed. And the more that the person, each client that they worked on, the more and more health the person had. So in the end, the more people I saw, the more I healed. And at my height of practicing with Dr. Al Reach, I've seen over 300 people a day and did it for years. I averaged between 250 to maybe 280 people a day.
Wow.
And because of that physical training, it's almost like chiropractic boot camp, I learned how to touch, how to evaluate, how to scan in a very short space of time, give an adjustment, receive my exchange, and move to the next person. And it also taught me about time. Even though the CAs might think I might, the chiropractic assistants, the ones that were running that, the front office, it appeared that I might spend a moment or two with a patient, but when the person was with me, there would be a time warp, and we would be in there for as long as it took. So I got to practice manipulating time as I manipulated the spine. Both my husband and I, when a patient said that they were too far away from us, we would send them to someone that saw a fraction of what we saw, and the people would come back saying that those people didn't have time for them. Mm-hmm. So it became a fabulous opportunity to learn how to be in present time, to totally focus on the person I'm working on, to provide the chiropractic adjustment, and move from being a technician of moving bones to a light worker of transmuting souls. And that's where the quickening came from.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Thank it
you.
Was.
I appreciate that, yeah.
I had a master teacher named Dennis Adams, who's out of Mount Shasta, California. And I remember...
Dennis Adams, yeah.
You know Dennis Adams?
He came to Iowa.
He is one of the foundational bricks of the quickening and the quantum leap. The concept about the multiple personalities, that teaching came from him. I remember one day I was laying on the floor at his feet. My feet were almost near his feet, and I'm looking up at him. He's a very tall man. He's 6'4", and I'm looking up at him. And he was describing about how we were multiple aspects of self and that we had parts of ourselves that we would use that our soul would use to heal ourselves or to expand things or process stuff. And so a person said, well, what do I use? And he goes, well, you use your anger body. So what that person would do is whip up be angry so that they would process an issue. And someone over there said something, and he would say what kind of bodies they use. Well, I found my courage, and I asked him, well, what do I use? And he looked out at me. He goes, you use dead body. And he walks off to the next person. And I go, dead body? Hey, I'm using dead body. So I spent a week with Dennis Adams in Mount Shasta. And when I came back, I was in body for the first time. I was... After the workshop was over, we volunteered our time at his ranch, and he was putting a fence up. He wanted to put really high fence up because he was growing enlightened vegetables, and the deer came out of the woodwork for him. So he was trying to, do experiments and have light plants and not feed everything. He wanted to feed himself. So he was putting these very high fences up. So I was at the bottom of the fence, and he was putting a strip at the bottom, and he was showing me how to weave it together. So he passed me a wire, and I pass it back to him, and we weaved this fence together. And he showed me three different ways of binding it together, and then he went away. And I didn't realize until I got home that what that man had actually done is taught me boundaries and put boundaries in my field. Huh. And for the very first time, I was in body. And from that point forward, I did a study of myself, of when I was in body and when I was numb. And through muscle testing myself, I started, when you're a fish inside the sea, in a sea, fish are not the ones that's going to discover water. So when, mm-hmm. It's like a blind person trying to describe color. They've never seen it before, if they've never had sight. So here I am, numb, attempting to feel, and all I know is numb, or everything I felt had a numb over it. So my physical body was numb, my emotional body was numb, my mind was numb. I had difficulty thinking, a clear thought from one thought to the next. So I started muscle testing using a matrix of, you know, from 1 to 100. I gave my guides a parameter. How much do I feel? And it would be zero. I was 100% numb. And I'd wait 5 minutes later. I go, well, how numb am I? And they would say 100%. And I would check every day, and I would work it until I finally, now I'm only 99% numb. I'm not sure how long it took. It was in the early 90s when I was doing this, until I got to a place where I was 100% feeling and 100% free of being numb. And for the first time in the early 90s is when I actually started feeling and coming into body. And this is all foundation for this workshop I'm doing. I have amazing, wonderful teachings about boundaries, about being in body, about being grounded, about fully participating. So the undercurrent of all this work is a fully occupying your life, fully occupying your physical body, fully occupying your feelings, and then the integration of that, all gentle, safe, easy, loving, full of grace.
Wow. Wow. Go ahead, Joan.
You know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking of all the people that I've met and worked with and all the people that are healers and teachers. And I think that many of us are still not aware that we're not fully in our bodies.
I have to tell you,
we're doing the work.
Yes, I have to tell you, in this microscopic examination at a cellular level to see how grounded and how much embodied, it's amazing how slick we are. I can actually drop a ground line through my body all the way to the center of Earth and not be in my body. I can be grounded, not my body. I can be grounded.
Uh-huh.
It's so interesting. I can actually put a person in their body, and they're not in their intestine, or they're not in their tush, or they're not in their vagina, or they're not in their feet, but you're in body.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing, desperate attempt not to fully participate, not to be human, not to be here. So very, very foundational, very integrated in the quantum leap is anchoring, A-N-C-H-O-R-I-N-G, a person fully into every cell of their being, and every essence, and every subtle body, and every field, and every moment of their being. People don't really understand what present time means. How can you, when you've just scattered yourself throughout time? One of the things that Dennis Adams taught, as soon as you've got a present time, you leave a moment of yourself on the timeline there. You leave it behind. So when you look back through time, you see aspects of yourself, not in present time. To be fully in present time, that's when you see the face of God. That's when you're in God time. That's when we do magic. When we do divine intervention, when we do that healing, and we do our mantra, we're in present time for that moment. And as soon as we stop that grid, we go out of present time.
Mm-hmm.
And what Dennis said is, when you bring all aspects of yourself back into present time, time collapses and it becomes all time, no time. It's part of what the Mayans have been talking about, no time. Star Fuentes says that what the Mayans were saying about 2012, it wasn't that the calendar quit. It wasn't that the whole world falling apart or whatever it is that, you know, the doomsayers are saying. It was that the Mayans did not have language. They didn't have Mayan language to explain what was about to come. It was beyond language. So they didn't try.
Mm. Wow.
So what the quickening does is it provides a bridge between the old paradigm, which we've all been doing for thousands, for millenniums, and it it has a firm foot in that illusionary paradigm, and it provides another foot in the new paradigm of consciousness, enlightenment, present time, no time, full health, joy, total commitment, total connection to source, and that we could do both at the same time and be fully understanding what's happening. So it provides a bridge between the old way and the new way. And we're solid in both. We understand both at the same time as we gently help those across the bridge into enlightenment. That's what the quickening is. It's a bridge between the two paradigms.
And with that being said, we only have a couple more minutes before our conference line is going to go offline.
Okay.
And I am so grateful that in June I walked up to you and I said, will you come to Iowa? And you said yes.
I am too.
So we are totally looking forward to, in 2 weeks, spending 3 days with you with the Quantum Leap. We have a few spaces left for those of you who are listening to this recording. Call Joan or I at 319-462-3599. And I just thank you from the bottom of every single cell in my body for taking time today.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. And I'll be seeing you all soon.
I can't wait. I'm just tingling all over.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Susan.
Bye.
Bye, Amy.